Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
There are four games left. If the New York Mets can win their games, they're going to the playoffs. If the Yankees can win their games and get one more piece of help, they're going to kind of improbably win the American League East. So here we are. It's gut check time. And let me start with the Yankees. We'll get to both in the open, and we'll get to your calls at 888-808-1019. For you, Sean, who I think you do a really good job of representing the disgruntled, angry Yankee fan.
Unfortunately.
I don't fully understand you guys half the time, but you do. You guys are in great position to steal the American League East, which means home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And as I've said many times, when they have it in the Boone era, they do not lose. Don't you agree that if somehow over these next four games you can gain one more on Toronto to take the American League East, that everything you have said and thought about this team should change?
Yes. Yes. Now, maybe not as far as winning a World Series. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. My biggest fear of this team, and part of the reason I absolutely nosedived in this team in the last 2 months, is especially when they didn't sweep the Blue Jays a couple weeks ago, you don't win the division, you're going to end up at a best of three. At the time, I thought either Houston or Boston, and you're going to start Max Fried in game one. There's a good chance you lose with Max Fried on the mound, and your season is over in the blink of an eye, especially if it was the Boston Red Sox. But man, avoiding that best of three dicey situation and getting home field advantage while winning a division and sitting back and waiting for a week was the path that got the Yankees there a year ago and is a path that I think changes everything about this team this year.
But there's something else that we do mistakenly throughout the 7 months of a baseball season or the 6 months of a baseball season. It's long and it's a roller coaster. Even in years that aren't as roller coastery as like the Mets season, there's highs and there's lows of a baseball season.
Definitely.
When we sat here in March, the Yankees over-under was 91.5. That was the reasonable expectation for the New York Yankees. Well, here we are with four games to go, and despite all the things that we couldn't have predicted, like Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a pitch this season, like Luis Gil missed a bunch of time, like Aaron Judge missed 10 days.
Sure.
All the things you couldn't have predicted. Giancarlo Stanton wasn't playing for the first 2 months. Anthony Volpe you wanted to send down. They couldn't beat the Red Sox. They couldn't beat the Blue. All the stuff that we experienced over 6 months, the Yankees are in the exact position we predicted they would be, which is low to mid-90s with a real chance to win the American League East. And so I think we get caught up in the roller coaster, but at the end of the day, despite all the things that cause such emotions over the course of the season, the New York Yankees are where you thought they'd be,
sure,
where I thought they'd be, where basically everybody reasonably thought they would be before the roller coaster began.
Yeah, now I will be fair, though. I thought the American League would be better than it was a year ago where the Yankees tussled with the Royals and Guardians. I thought the Royals would be even better this year. I thought the Texas Rangers would have a rebound this year. I thought the Tigers would hang on and not do what they did this year. And a funny thing happened along the way. Evan ended up being right about the American League from the beginning of the year.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Evan was right about the American League. So while it is fine to be a disgruntled, angry Yankee fan and not believe in the actual team as itself, unfortunately, all you could do is grade them amongst their peers. How many 2 years ago we did the peer tier thing in the NFL? And the peer tier tells you that this Yankee team, as we sit with four games left to go and now seeing another Blue Jay loss last night, man, if they could close this and avoid that dicey best of three, in the low to mid-90s, maybe where we thought they were going to be, but they're going to be better projected through the postseason and set up that way. And also, another thing happened along the way with that Yankee team. You mentioned everything they didn't have. Trent Grisham stepped up and ended up becoming one of the most clutch players in baseball, and the numbers he put up was something nobody saw coming
over
the year.
Look, we got here maybe not exactly the way we predicted it. Like, for example, I think if we were having this conversation in the middle of March, and we did, and we were figuring out how the Yankees were going to get to 91, 92, 93 wins, the outfielder who was going to put up those numbers was Jason Dominguez. And it's disappointing he didn't. It's disappointing he's no longer really a starter on this team. But baseball has a funny way of working out.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out to be Trent Grisham.
Right.
But at the end,
it could be Dominguez going forward. But for this year, absolutely.
But at the
Grisham forced the issue.
At the end of the day, the Yankees are going to end up pretty much where we thought, which is, as, in my opinion, the team to beat in the American League. They are right there in finishing the season with the best record in the American League. And where they deserve a ton of credit is, I know the White Sox are bad. All right, we get it. The Twins are bad. I get it. As you look around baseball, as you look around at Toronto and even the Mets struggles, all these other teams, the Astros, who, by the way, how are they doing against the A's? I must have missed it. How are they doing? How are the Reds doing against the Pirates?
I told you it was an old-timers team.
Beating crappy teams is not easy. We act like it is. It's not. And to the Yankees' credit, they are beating them constantly. Now, they've got four more to go because they still need to win these final four games, hope for a little bit of help. They can't get tripped up. And that almost feels like unfair. Like, you get tripped up in baseball. You don't beat the bad teams all the time. But to the Yankees' credit, they kind of have. They've destroyed the bad teams. And I think that there is credence to how important that is instead of just, well, it's the White Sox. Who cares?
Look,
you got to win these games, and the Yankees have done as good of a job beating the bad teams as anybody else. That's not fool's gold, Tommy. That's what you need to do to secure the number one seed in a league.
And
not everyone does it.
No, and frankly, there were moments the last two nights where I thought the Yankees weren't going to do it. I mean, the night before where they need magic at the end, the bottom of the ninth, where they were listless with their bats all night. And even last night, you load the bases in the first inning, you stranded. I thought they were dead in the water.
You thought they were dead in the water against the White Sox?
I've seen enough Yankee games to know when you strand the bases loaded like that, but they, boom, King Judge rises and the whole thing happens. So they are finding ways to do it, and you have to give them credit for that.
I do have an observation about the Chicago White Sox, and I want to be very careful with how I say this because I'm not accusing anybody of anything, okay? I want to make that very clear. So we live in a world in which players have been investigated for having FanDuel accounts or DraftKings accounts, and ooh, that was weird. Like in the NBA, we've had the player prop scandals.
See the Cleveland Guardians closer who hasn't been closing.
Emmanuel Clase doesn't exist anymore. So this is unfortunate because I preface this with, when somebody in baseball does something so bad over and over again, you start to wonder, like, hey, do they have an account? Like, it does go through your mind. So now that I got that out of the way, now I'm going to rip someone for how bad they've looked. And it just makes you wonder, like, what the hell's going on? Are they this bad or is something going on? What's up with Michael Taylor? Michael Taylor didn't die for a line drive on the Yankee walk-off, in which he should have. Everybody noticed that. Everyone who watched the game said, whoa, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And then last night, he slows up on a fly ball up the gap. I think it was the Jazz Chisholm hit.
Yes.
His at-bats are listless. He was 0-for-3 with two strikeouts. It's just, is he that bad or... I'll just leave it at that.
I mean, look,
is he that bad? Maybe he's bad.
Anything could be. He could be that bad. I think Michael Taylor has all the reads of a player in the last week of a dead season that's going, I'm not pulling a single muscle. I am getting on the golf course Monday, and that is it.
Okay. I believe you.
But
just write that down.
Card subject to change in this day and age in sports.
No, honestly, I don't think anything. It's just when you see bad performances now, and I think it's just the state of the world we live in. I mean, unfortunately, when you see bad performances, you're like, damn, that's weird. Yeah, he's bad. But to the Yankees' credit, they've taken advantage of it.
They've taken advantage of it. If we're going to spin this forward, I'm going to say this now. The Blue Jays have done their part in handing this back to the Yankees. Now, not all the way yet because you lost the tiebreaker. There are four games left. Forget the idea of asking the Yankees to go 6-0. The two games already banked. Look at this as a four-game season. You've beaten all the bad teams. White Sox, 3 with the Orioles, all at home. You got to do your part now. You got to go 4-0.
You're going to kill them if they lose one of these games? You're going to kill them. You're going to crush them.
The division changes everything about this team. You are playing it's two bad teams, but let's just say four games versus bad teams. Go win all four. If the Jays happen to win all four, so be it.
No, I think if they lose a game in the final four, which is normal because you don't beat the bad teams 100% of the time, I think it would be just fair to look back at your regular season games against Toronto and said, man, if one would have been turned,
definitely,
it changes everything.
That comeback they didn't finish.
But I cannot, and I completely agree with you, I cannot minimize the difference between being a division champion with the number one seed in the American League versus a wild card series. And I've had this argument. I think Tommy and I actually had it last year more in the National League with, hey, I'd almost rather have the momentum. I'd rather play the wild card series. I'm not putting words in your mouth. I know you've said that before to me, right?
I have. Now, I think in the case of the Yankees, it suits them better to have the home field because they play better at home.
100%. Like, I get everybody's different, but what I would always argue.
And the longer the series goes, I think it benefits a Yankee team as opposed to the short. Boom, two bullets and you're done.
Yeah, I get you. I think it just benefits you to not have the risk of losing two out of three. Anybody can lose two out of three. I wouldn't want to risk it. It's why divisions matter. It's not the end-all, be-all. Clearly, we've seen that you can win the division and get knocked out immediately. I mean, it's happened a lot. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it is such a difference for this Yankee team and really for anybody to go right to the divisional series with home field versus playing two out of three. Now, on the Mets side of things, the Mets had a weird night last night. They sucked. They lost. Jonah Tong was bad. Blah, blah, blah. Their defense was bad. The Mets basically continued to play the way they've played for the last 4 months.
Except for that Tyrone Taylor throw earlier.
That was a great throw by Tyrone Taylor. And the Francisco Alvarez had a two-run home run. And Ryan Helsley looked good. Great. You found the positives. Can we move on now?
Yes.
What was weird about last night, and I'm going to do it throughout the day, is that the Reds and Diamondbacks games matter as much as the Mets games. That's just the facts now. We are at the nitty-gritty of this season. And I've said this a million times. There's nothing that can change the fact that the Mets have had a disastrous regular season. Okay? No matter what happens. Nope. They make the playoffs with 84 wins. I'm glad they made the playoffs. It was a disastrous regular season. So we've all accepted that. But the Reds losing last night the way they did was huge. The Diamondbacks, after they rallied and then they hold Ohtani and Betts and Freeman with the Manfred man not scoring a run, was huge. And they still lost. The Diamondbacks did. And so the Mets actually had a night last night, and I'm still trying to come to grips with this, where they sucked and they got their ass whooped, but they still control their future.
Yeah, you almost wake up forgetting the Mets actually lost their game.
That's the problem. I don't, but I also understand that if the Reds and the Diamondbacks are going to continue to you-know-what-the-bed, then, yeah, the Mets may not have to win all four games. Because God knows I don't trust them to, and I can't imagine how anybody would. But I do admit that this pennant race is causing such weird emotions where when I put my head on the pillow last night after the Dodgers held on in the 11th inning, and yes, I am staying up till 1 a.m. watching this, I went to bed and I was like, okay.
What date do you get sick, by the way? November 4th?
Saturday. Yeah. It's coming up.
Oh,
but that's where we are with the Mets. And what's happening, and you got to agree with me on this. Every Met fan, including you, positive, Tommy, has to agree with me. The Reds losing and the Diamondbacks losing would make missing the playoffs worse than it was even 4 days ago. Because it's not like someone's grabbing it. No one's grabbing it. They're all allowing the Mets more opportunities to grab it. And so if they miss the playoffs, which is still on the table and to me still the likeliest scenario, I think it gets worse by the day because of how inept the Reds have been, and how the Diamondbacks couldn't take advantage of it at least last night.
They've begged the Mets to pad a lead here, and they just will not.
It makes it worse.
Yes.
It makes it worse. Because I remember back in 1998, the Mets had a collapse no one remembers. They lost their last five games. And as they were losing their last five games, the Giants and the Cubs, who they were in a pennant race with, they kept losing too. Every day. Every day they kept losing. Brent Brown dropped a fly ball in left field. Am I kidding you? To lose a game. In Milwaukee.
Your brain is special, man.
And the Mets couldn't take advantage of it. And so what killed me in 98 versus 07 and versus this year is, I know 07 was bad. We all know, oh yeah, 17 ago. The Phillies took it.
Yeah.
You know, the Mets choked, no doubt, but it was in combination with the Phillies grabbing it.
Yeah, the Reds ain't grabbing anything.
The Reds aren't grabbing it. The Diamondbacks have played well for a long period of time, but they lose last night. They haven't grabbed it yet. So it is making a Met playoff miss worse, what's happening around us. I'm glad it's happened. I'm glued to Reds Pirates right now. I'll keep you posted. Diamondbacks Dodgers a little bit later. Yeah. I'll keep you posted. So trust me, I want them to lose. I want as much help as we can get. But I got to admit, if this team doesn't make the playoffs with a $1 billion payroll, with the great start they got off to, with the Reds and the Diamondbacks not grabbing it, bro, this is all-time bad.
And a lot relying on some young arms that weren't here 2 months ago because as the Mets, you've seen the last two nights, all these pitchers you go through, you're asking in these last four games, that is a lot of outs to get from this Mets staff if these young arms don't give you innings.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with Jonah Tong is that And I know Tiki and I had this argument about 3 weeks ago where he said, hey, the Mets are rushing all their young arms. And I said, not really. I think they earned their way here. Jonah Tong was rushed.
Clearly.
He was rushed. And I think you're seeing it. He's not ready. He's showing you signs of what he can be, and I still believe he has a chance to be a really good pitcher in this league for the Pittsburgh Pirates once he's in a deal for Paul Skeens. But Nolan McLean and Brandon Sproat, no matter what happens tonight with McLean, no matter what happens tomorrow with Sproat, I think they did enough in the minor leagues, and they've certainly shown you signs here that they weren't rushed. If they struggle, they struggle. I think they're ready. Jonah Tong isn't ready, and he looks like he's 12 years old. And last night, like every time he does a post-game interview, I got to tell you, I feel bad. I look into his eyes and I say, boy, they really put you in a tough spot.
It's not his fault. I mean, it looks like Kodai Senga ain't coming here anytime soon the way he's been. And Sean Manaea comes out of the pen and again looks hapless. So what are the Mets supposed to do with that?
They don't have a lot of great options. Yesterday, late in the show, I brought up Kodai Senga and Tiki said, what's the update on Kodai? And I said, well, the update on Kodai is he threw a bullpen. And Tiki said, how'd he do? I said, it's a bullpen. I don't know how he did. About 5 minutes later, Carlos Mendoza met the media and did something I was surprised by. He crapped on Kodai Senga. He did. He said, well, his velocity was down. You know, there's some concerns about the heat, you know, possibly causing fatigue. I mean, basically, the Mets are done with Kodai Senga. Let's just be honest.
The heat causing fatigue?
Dude, they're done with this guy. Like, this isn't me being done with the guy. I've liked Kodai Senga. Right. I've been encouraged by what I've seen. I understand that some fans are turned off because it seems like everything needs to be perfect. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm reading the Mets' opinion. The Mets are done with this guy. He's not going to pitch the rest of this season, and you can mark my words, he's on a different team next year. That's the vibe I'm getting because they threw David Peterson out there 2 days ago.
They threw
a little child in Jonah Tong out there yesterday.
The child?
I feel bad. He's a man, but he just, during these post-game interviews, it feels like he's 14.
He does.
They don't want to throw Kodai Senga out there. Ask yourself why. They think he's done.
Yeah.
They don't think he can do anything. And considering the state of the Met rotation, doesn't that tell you how they feel about Kodai Senga?
Yes, because they'd be dying to use somebody they've spent that much money on him right now in a pennant race, and they just can't trust him. Now, it does leave us with tonight, Evan. I know we're going to get to it more. If tonight is finally the night where Nolan McLean isn't the Nolan McLean he's been, where do Met fans sit on that? You get a little angst at the organization, or will there be some, hey, Nolan, you didn't show up for us here tonight?
Look, I think that McLean and Sproat, and you're even seeing it with Tong,
yeah,
they're not taking the heat. The heat is the fact that they're in this situation. Like, Nolan McLean is allowed to have a bad start. Would tonight be horrible timing? Yes.
Because you also might know the Reds and Diamondbacks have won by the time he takes them out.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not denying that it would be terrible timing, but no, I think we as Met fans look at Nolan McLean and say, thank God he's here. Where would the Mets be if he wasn't? They'd be out of a playoff spot. So I think that McLean, Sproat, and you've certainly even seen with Tong, they're not taking the heat. What's taking the heat is David Stearns. What's taking the heat is Carlos Mendoza. What's taking the heat are individual bats. Look, last night, other than Juan's solo in the eighth inning, 1-5, 1-4, they were 1-16.
Awful.
They didn't do anything. So they're taking the heat. So do you know that the Pirates always beat them? They have like a horrible history against the Pirates over the last 15 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The biggest rivalry nobody cares about.
Yeah. They're like the Marlins to the Mets in that. Not that the Marlins always beat the Mets, but the Marlins have haunted the Mets. Mm. And I think that's a part of the fear this weekend, the Marlins' history against the Mets. Well, over the last decade or so, while the Pirates have been awful, they always beat the Cincinnati Reds. And the Reds have a chance to at least salvage the series. But I think either way to the Red fan, they're looking at these first two losses as a missed opportunity, especially last night when they rallied down 2-0 late. And had the chance to win the game in extras, and they did not.
I can't believe they didn't win that game.
I'm stunned, too.
I can't believe it.
I'm stunned that the Diamondbacks didn't win their game. Yeah. They were trailing 4-1 in the eighth inning against the Dodgers. I was cursing out, like, how come you didn't keep Sasaki in the game, Cousin Dave? And the Diamondbacks rallied, and then the Dodgers were able to win it in the 11th as well. So the Mets not only got help last night, but they got help with 2 11th inning victories.
Unbelievable.
I can't make it up.
Can't keep it. By the way, you said something right when you came out of break that I thought was interesting. Do you remember what you said?
Yankees win and get another Blue Jay loss. They win the AL East.
Nope. And then you said for the Mets?
If they win their games, they make the playoffs.
It's all right in front of them.
Oh, crap.
You're Aaron Booning the Mets.
But it's true. It is all right in front of them. We'll get to the brilliance of Max Fried in the next few minutes.
Right in front of us.
Oh. I like when he did that because he hit the microphone. Can you play that one more time? This was angry.
It's all right there in front of us. It's right in front of us.
I got to do that today. It's right in front of us, sons of bitches. Stop making errors.
But it is right in front of us.
No, I know it is, Aaron. It's right in front of us. What are you going to do?
He might be right.
He was right all along because it is right in front of you. He wasn't wrong. Let's go to John in Brooklyn to lead it off. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I want to say, like, when it comes to the Yankees, this what I think is going to happen with Yankees and Mets. I do believe the Yankees are going to win the division. Reason why, Tampa Bay is playing really well. Toronto, so Tampa Bay loves to play spoiler as well. They've done it so many years. So I don't see Toronto winning all those games. I could even see them losing that series. And then the Yankees are playing great, and they're playing at home where they have a great record. They also have the best road record in the AL and almost the best in baseball, only one game difference on Milwaukee. So I do believe the Yankees are winning that division. Now, the Mets, I'm a New Yorker. I want to see them both in the playoffs, but I can't see them. They're on the road the rest of the season. They're playing against the Marlins. They have – you know how many teams have a better road record in the MLB than the Mets?
Yeah.
22.
Yeah.
22 teams have a better road record.
They've been a bad road team, and I pointed this out before the trip began. They have had only one above 500 road trip this entire year. The question that we're trying to answer is how many wins do they need? Because I know when the trip began, you even peppered me with, hey, is 3-3 good enough? And I said, no. I'm not even sure 4-2 is going to be good enough.
Might be.
Well, it might be. I mean, here's all we know. What we know is 5-1 will be good enough. We don't know about the rest. And keep in mind something else that is not getting enough attention. The Miami Marlins aren't just spoilers. The Miami Marlins have a path to making the postseason.
Everybody loses out?
No. They need the Mets to lose tonight. No question about that. Then they control their games against the Mets because they play them 3 straight times. They can afford the Reds and Diamondbacks to win one more time in their last 4 games. And if all that happens, and I think the Cardinals lose once or twice, the Marlins can win the wild card.
Damn, that's actually plausible.
No, it's plausible because we're talking about how the Reds and the Diamondbacks are struggling. Oh, you know, the Mets will just keep losing and make it anyway. Not really.
That would be the biggest swerve in baseball history.
If the Marlins make the playoffs?
Oh, how tight would your butt be clenched on Sunday?
I don't think it matters. My butt is clenched either way in this playoff scenario. It doesn't matter if it's the Marlins, the Reds. It doesn't matter. Like,
but knowing that even the Reds and all their losses, that Mets still came down to the Marlins.
Yeah, Sean, I'm telling you right now, missing the playoffs is the biggest debacle in this franchise's history. I respect that you're trying to make it worse than what I just said, but it's already going to be the biggest debacle in the history of the franchise. So there's nothing more you could add to it.
I was going to make a joke. The Mets could lose out and make the playoffs. Are you telling me they could, if they lose out, they'll miss the playoffs because the Marlins get, oh, the Marlins still have to win?
No, tonight. The Mets could still technically lose out and make the playoffs. They could lose out, finish 81-81, and make the playoffs. It would involve the Reds losing out, the Diamondbacks losing out, the Marlins losing tonight.
Okay.
And then the Cardinals getting tripped up.
Okay, but if the Mets lost tonight.
Yes.
And the Marlins won tonight, the Mets could no longer, in theory, lose out and make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yes.
You know what? I need to start getting in on the Rico. This is great.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. It's our torture. Let's go to Vernon in Atlanta. Hey, Vernon.
What's up, Evian? Big Sean in the house.
What's up, Vernon?
Listen, I understand what you did all season. You know, I never hated you for what you did because all you did was just motivate me and start having me think about, you know, my team in general, what we going to do, how we going to do it, when we going to do it. And that all fell on what Brian Cashman needed to do. He didn't do everything he needed to do, but I think he did a damn good job of getting us where we at.
No question. No, and I argued that, I think we lost you, Vernon. I argued that yesterday with Sean, if you missed it, that Brian Cashman's trade deadline is looking incredible. And I'll tell you something else that he's doing that deserves a lot of credit. Okay? When you sign a pitcher to a long-term deal, we all understand it's going to be judged by the whole sample size.
Sure.
Well, I'm going to play a game with you. CC Sabathia, was that a good signing?
Of course.
Okay. CC Sabathia was a good signing, but it was really made by his first year.
Yeah, they won the World Series.
They won the World Series, and he had a great year. Max Fried's first year with the New York Yankees, and I get it, he's got 7 more years to go, playoff games ahead of him, a lot more to be determined. But in his first regular season, which is now officially in the books, as a New York Yankee, I was going over the numbers last night, he had a better first year than CC Sabathia and Gerrit Cole.
That doesn't shock me. The ERA, the 19 wins. But you know the way it's going to be judged.
It's going to be judged on October.
Max Fried's got 8 years for the Yankees to make a World Series with him. You know, at least Gerrit Cole made the World Series last
year. No, I get that. And I'm not saying he surpassed any of them. I'm merely saying, as of right now, because Max Fried has not had a chance to pitch a playoff game yet, he will. As of right now, on September 25th, 2025, we have concluded year one of regular season Max Fried. He put together an utterly brilliant regular season. It had a little blip in the middle with the old thing issue.
The blisters. But I actually think that makes it more incredible. Because we went through, and it was like 3-4 starts in a row. You're like, Jesus, the wheel's falling off Max Fried. And the fact that he was able to rebound and be as dominant as he was at the beginning of the year, I actually think makes it more impressive.
I totally agree. Here are his final numbers. 195 innings, 19-5, 2.86 ERA. CC Sabathia threw 230 innings his first year, 19-8, 3.37 ERA. And Gerrit Cole's complicated because his first year was 2020. I personally don't like including that. Yeah. I would make it 2021. I know that's not a real answer, but
no, it's a funky way that we had it.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of look at that quarter of it. It wasn't even 60 games. But in 2021, 16-8, 3.23 ERA. But what really impressed me about Max Fried was not just the performance, not just overcoming The blister.
Man, that's an easy one to remember.
I forget what it's called. I want to say a mole.
Mole?
Yeah, I keep wanting to say a mole issue.
Nah, the difference between a mole and a blister is a mole doesn't pop. You'll really bleed if you pick one of those.
No, I get that they're different. I'm just saying that's the word that's in my head. But what really excited me about Max Fried was his answer last night from Meredith Marakovich. Meredith says, what'd you think of your first year? You know, very like, hey, what'd you think? Listen to this answer by Max Fried and tell me he isn't very soon going to be one of your favorite New York Yankees.
How would you describe your first regular season in Pittsburgh?
Not finished yet. You know, it's been very apparent that the goal of this team is to go to the playoffs, get deep in the playoffs, and win the World Series. So, I like to put a lot of team goals in front of how I individually do. So, if we come out and go deep in the playoffs and win a World Series, then I'll say it's pretty successful, but we got a long way to go.
How about that? What a robot.
You got to love that.
I mean, I don't love the lack of enthusiasm, but I like the answer.
No, that's how he speaks.
I know though. It is.
You can't expect him to be Mr. Personality.
Him and Gerrit Cole must be the worst time out on the town. I mean, I tell you.
But you know what? Maybe that's what you need. Be a stone-cold killer on the mound.
He's hyper-focused, he's robotic, and he's awesome. I love it.
Here's the thing you know about Max Fried going into October. He's had some bad Octobers. Like, there's no denying that. He's had some really good Octobers. It's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
And I honestly believe the more players get experience pitching in October,
exactly. That's
exactly what's going to happen.
He gets to lean on everything he's learned from the past and what he could bring to the table.
Well, what we know is if he struggles, it's not going to be because the moment is too big.
No.
I said that about Edwin Diaz the other day, and there are certain players I feel that about. I think the jury to you is still out about Carlos Rodon in that regard.
Definitely. I think it's a huge October for Rodon for the Yankee fans.
But I think with Max Fried, like, look, he gets hit in his first playoff start, you're going to boo his ass because that's the way you are. But in general, I would just look at him and trust that even if he struggles, it has nothing to do with the stage. It's just, it's baseball. And sometimes you pitch really well, and sometimes you don't.
Max Fried's graduated by far into this territory. My fear of Max Fried in October is nothing more than, are we going to score for him if we're going ace versus ace? And that's my biggest worry is, you know, you're just going to throw Max Fried, you lose a game 3-1. That will bother me, but it'll be more angry at the offense than anything Max Fried did on the mound.
Andre is calling from Connecticut. What's up, Andre?
What's up? I'm going to preface my call first by saying that I know the game's not played like it used to be. But other than Alvarez on the Mets, this team he's playing with two broken hands. This team has no balls, none. And what I saw last night, what bothers me the most is Pete Armstrong. This guy, you're going to put us to sleep. Somebody's got to put this guy in his ass. Next at bat, push him back off the plate.
So
we traded you. You were hurt when we traded you.
Yeah, yeah. What Andre is referring to, let me just set the tone for anyone that missed this, because the Mets were getting their ass kicked last night. There was a moment in this game, it was embarrassing, and the game was pretty much out of reach when it happened, where Pete Crow Armstrong went to third on a wild pitch. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop at third. He rounded third, and Clay Holmes was not getting to cover home fast enough. And so Pete Crow Armstrong took advantage of that. Clay was late to cover. And Pete Crow Armstrong was safe. And he was pumped up. He was fired up. And when he got up, He did the go to sleep.
Yeah, he did the Malik Nabers versus Dallas too early thing.
See, I look at it as the CM Punk.
So does 98% of America, the 2% represented by Sean. CM Punk's been doing that for like two decades.
And also, it's Chicago, yeah, which I don't know if you made that connection, but
I did.
CM Punk is, yes, he's a professional wrestler. You may not love him, but he's like, I think a big deal in Chicago where he's from.
100%.
So we'd have to ask PCA, but I'm pretty sure based on his age and his personality, it was probably CM Punk.
I mean,
probably.
You want to drill a guy? Here's an idea. How about don't let him score from second on a wild pitch?
Well, hold on. Let's get to the drilling. I just wanted to describe the scene, okay?
All right.
So Pete Crow Armstrong scores, and he does the go to sleep as kind of like, I guess, a mocking of the Mets.
They were asleep.
Yeah. I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was we're finishing the Mets off. I don't know if it's just a celebratory.
Cream pie.
Cream pie, or whatever PCA does. Okay, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Like, Francisco Alvarez, after he hit that home run two nights ago, was ready to take his pants off. I mean, he was ready to celebrate like there was no tomorrow. I am good with people celebrating.
Celebratory cork.
What I'm not good with is a pitcher having his head so far up his tuchus that he doesn't cover. So if you're a Met fan and you're angry at Pete Crow Armstrong, get your priorities right. I did completely disagree with our last caller. He made a good heads-up play. We weren't paying attention. And if he wants to celebrate, he should celebrate. Just like when Alvarez hit the home run, he had every right to celebrate.
Yeah.
I am over this old man, why are you celebrating crap? When you do something good, celebrate. Doesn't mean you won the game. Doesn't mean you won the World Series. But it's okay to be pumped up. And that was a really good hustle play by, yes, a player the Mets traded away.
And I need to remind the Met fans, and I'm not knocking that. You had a problem with Pete Crow Armstrong doing that last night. You held an impromptu players dancing like it was Magic Mike concert on the field after beating the Astros last year, okay? Did the Astros have to the next night go plunk all of you guys? I mean, you don't think that was a little arrogant? You didn't care, and nor should you have, because your team was celebrating in good spirits. Pete Armstrong is celebrating an insane moment where he scores on a wild pitch. Can we calm down a little bit?
I think our priorities are wrong if we're mad at him. Our priorities should be mad at the Mets. And that's a part of the Mets' issues right now. They're not only not pitching well, which is obviously like their biggest issue currently, but look at the defense. Look at the head up your rear end baseball.
Yeah.
Like, this is go time. There's only four games left in the season. Stuff like that can't happen. Allen's in Danbury. Good afternoon, Allen.
Hey, how's it going, Evan? Yo, listen, I got a question for you, bro.
Yeah.
What would be worse? The Mets on the last day of baseball, and all they got to do is win, and they end up losing and not make the playoffs, or Zach Wilson lights up the Jets Monday night coming in for an injured Tua?
That's a good question. I wasn't sure where he was going because I'm thinking, all right, the Mets losing game 162 in Miami to miss the playoffs is pretty freaking bad. How does it get worse? I think that one would be worse for this reason. Okay, let's say you're right. Let's say Tua gets hurt, Zach comes in, and he lights up the Jets. That is bad. I mean, there's no question that is bad. But I have a level of confidence that I'll get the last laugh, that Zach Wilson won't be the future. It won't lead to anything. It'll be an embarrassing moment. It would really stink. But I don't think it's going to lead to the Dolphins making the playoffs and us regretting the existence of Zach Wilson. Losing Game 162 to the Marlins for the third time in their franchise's history with this payroll, with this roster, to end this long of a regular season, you don't get a final laugh on for another year unless you win the World Series the following year.
You'll remember that Game 162 for the rest of your life. You will not remember Zach Wilson beating the Jets if his career is nothing after that.
I think I'll remember it and it'll be bad. I can't say it wouldn't, but I don't think it would equal the embarrassment of missing the playoffs on the last day of the year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Here. When somebody brings that moment up to you, it would be an, oh yeah, man, that was crazy that night. There's no bringing up the Mets losing a 162 in Miami off this year. That'll be just immortalized forever.
Well, like, I think
the Marlins could hang a banner, as a matter of fact, with how little they've won.
No, they've won two championships in the last, since 97.
All they've done.
Oh, that's as many championships as the Mets have in their history.
I forgot.
Yeah, you forgot. I think if Zach turned into a star, like, I was wrong. Everybody was wrong. And Zach became a superstar with the Miami Dolphins. Then I think you could look back at that being worse. I do.
It all started. Okay.
No, then it would. But I'm not worried of that happening. Like, am I worried that Zach Wilson could come into a game and light up the Jets? Of course. They're the Jets. I feel like I can light up their defense right now. No Quincy Williams. Sauce being overrated. The rest of the secondary not being any good. Like, that's not the surprising part. I think him turning into the superstar, that would be the surprising part.
And yesterday was the anniversary.
Anniversary of what?
24 years.
Of what?
Mo Lewis.
Really? Why do we celebrate that every year?
New England celebrates it every year.
Okay.
I saw it, and it just made me think, could that happen with Zach Wilson? Injury this week, Jets cause has got to come in. And
not worried about it. Now, I mean, I'm worried about it in terms of Monday night, because sure, they could. Like I said, the Jets could lose. I'm not stunned by that. I'm not worried about Zach Wilson turning to anything. I'm not. And it's certainly not going to happen with the Brainiac head coach down in Miami right now. Like, I don't think that's the position where it's going to happen. So,
could you imagine a playoff game with Zach Wilson versus Daniel Jones this year?
No, I can imagine Daniel Jones in a playoff game. In fact, you should get used to that because he's probably going to win the AFC South. So your fantasy you're trying to create, that's your reality. That ain't my reality.
We'll see about that.
As much as you want. It doesn't make it any different.
I don't know about that.
You think Zach Wilson has as good of a chance to make the playoffs as Daniel Jones?
No, I don't. But I'm
drug test this man, please.
I do not, but I could see that would be a great Saturday 4:30 game for all of us, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I have more confidence in Zach Wilson than I do Justin Herbert. I love when you play that because I can't imagine why I said it other than just to take a shot at Justin Herbert. Who, by the way, is facing the New York Giants this weekend. Am I the only person that thinks Justin Herbert and Jackson Dart look alike?
They do have that West Coast little, if we wouldn't do this, we'd be surfing and maybe getting bit by a shark look.
Yeah. Jackson Dart's making his NFL debut against his doppelganger. Doppelganger.
Doppelganger?
Doppelganger, yeah. I once met my doppelganger. It freaked the hell out of me.
Who's your doppelganger?
I was 13 years old, and I ran into another kid who was 13 years old, and I was like, holy crap, is that me? It was really weird. Really freaked me out.
Really?
Yeah. Never forget it. You know what the weirdest part was? His name was Evan.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
You met a kid at 13. Was it like the Parent Trap? You sure he wasn't adopted and living in England and coming over?
I don't think so. But yeah, looked just like me. I mean, you have doppelgangers like all the time. Like Brian Daboll's your doppelganger.
The moment you are bald, hefty, shaved head and grow a beard, you look like 100 other people within a 5-mile radius.
That's true. I think there's like this bald thing. You're right. Let's go to Brandon on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Brandon?
Hey guys. Second time calling in the second day in a row. So
look at you. You're red hot. You're going to become Cal Ripken before you know it.
There you go, Cal Ripken. I was born in 1988, so I saw him in the 90s as a young kid. So
nice.
But,
very overrated, by the way. People don't like to admit that. One of the most overrated players in the history of the game. But don't get me started.
Exactly. Yeah, so but, yeah, I just want to talk about the rotation, which has been a concept that's been brought about. Obviously, McLean, Sproto's the first and second people. And then the third, I guess, you know, Peterson's got to be out. Tong's got to be out. Maybe uses like a short relief, maybe an inning or a few outs.
Are you talking about a playoff rotation? Is that what you're asking about, Brandon?
Possibly, because I know there's a game out. There's not much time left.
You know
here.
What, Brandon? Here's the thing. It's an interesting question, right? Like, hey, if the season ended today, the Mets make the playoffs, how would you line up the rotation? And I'd love to engage in it, but I feel so dirty doing it, considering I still think the Mets are going to fall short. Like, despite having everything right there for them, where if they win their games, they make it, I haven't changed over the last 3 days. Like,
What's your percentage at?
21%.
That low, even with the way the Reds and Diamondbacks.
Dude, have you watched the Mets?
Yeah, they're bad.
So then why would you think differently?
I think you, by the way, I think I'm even lower than you now. Now I think the Marlins are making it. You totally painted that scenario in my head.
No, ultimately, I think the team that ends up making it is Arizona because they play the Padres to end the season, and the Padres may literally have nothing to play for. Like, nothing.
But we know that doesn't matter.
It matters less now
it's not like a team we could rest 15 guys.
That you nailed it. It matters less today because when they used to have the expanded rosters, the day after you clinched, I think David Cone said this on the broadcast because he experienced it as a player. The day after you clinched, there'd be 8 minor leaguers playing because your rosters were so expanded.
And you were hung over from the champagne showers.
Of course. But now you can't do that. Now, because there's only 5 guys on your bench and the 9 relievers that you have, which is a lot, but it's not enough. You really can't do that. So I agree. It's not like the Padres are throwing minor leaguers out there. But still, there's a motivation to this sport. And like I mentioned, the Diamondbacks have played reasonably well. So, like, I'd love to answer the question because it's a good one. In fact, I know how we're going to do it because it's a good question and the audience deserves an answer. While I won't answer what the Met rotation should be, I think Positive Tommy can because you're still convinced they're making the playoffs.
I am. So I'm going to go McClain in game 1. I'm going to go Sproat in game 2. And then game 3, I'm going to do a tag team of Clay Holmes and, believe it or not, David Peterson.
Not Sean Manaea?
I still think David Peterson is a gamer, and if you put him in a big game like he was last year, I for some reason I still believe in this guy in a tag team spot. I'm even open to a trio where you go all menage a trois, where you go all 3 of them for 2 innings. Not the worst idea. You know what I mean?
I don't know. If you start Clay Holmes and he gets through 2 innings, I don't think you could pull
him. Okay, but then you could go 3-2-2. That works, right? Because you figure the first 2 games, you'll have relievers in there. So
Tommy,
everybody rest.
As you're discussing this, by the way, totally fine points. No issue with you.
Yeah.
As you're discussing it and you're laying it out, because you understand the circumstances that the Mets are in with their pitching, doesn't it kind of remind you of why they're not making the playoffs?
Well,
if you only have 2 starters and then your third is a collection of misfits, doesn't that tell you the state of the team?
I remember Shea Stadium and Ollie Perez pitching a game 7. So, I mean, their rotation was in, let's be honest, shambles back then. They were basically being held up by glue.
Here's the difference. So, it is a good example.
Bigger names, for sure.
No, because I didn't trust Tommy Glavine. It's not even about Tom Glavine and John Main and Steve Traxel before he got pulled. Here's the difference. The 06 Met offense was elite. This offense never got to that point. We were hoping for it. Didn't happen. That's number 1. And number 2, the bullpen was very deep. Chad Bradford, Pedro Feliciano, even Guillermo Mota, Aaron Heilman. I know a lot of those guys had bad moments eventually, but they were a very good bullpen. That's not what this team is.
You basically have like 2.5 combined relievers you trust.
That you trust? I don't know. Ryan Helsley's
moving. I was just about to say, Helsley gets back in the circle of trust. All of a sudden, the bullpen gets a lot deeper.
All I'm saying is it's not the same as
06. Okay, that's fine. But the lineup, I think, has elite players in it. How about that? And if you could get Alvarez and Vientos to hit, doesn't it deepen the lineup and become a little bit more closer to elite level?
Probably not a good sign that you're asking the same questions you were asking in July with 4 days left.
Yeah, but hold on a second, and this is where I think Evan is the best point you could possibly make. You get in, you have a chance to win. So once you get in, it's about, all right, what do we have? How do we make a run?
Yeah, my counter to you wasn't, oh, wow, they're going to be smoked by the Dodgers. I didn't say that to you. My counter
that's what Sean basically was kind of insinuating. Well, at least.
Not really.
That's Sean. What I'm saying to you is they're going to have to do in 2 of the 4 games they have left, they're going to have to cobble something together. In 50% of the games, they're going to pitch Nolan McClain tonight. Let's hope he's great. They're going to pitch Brandon Sproat on Friday. Let's hope he's great. And then on Saturday and Sunday, the cobbling you just described is going to have to occur not once, but twice. That's what is part of why it's very difficult to have a confidence that they're going to win enough games to make the postseason.
Maybe, because they could technically, correct me if I'm wrong.
They could clinch before Sunday?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, at least one of the games that they're going to need to win in order to clinch, they're going to.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Have to cobble it together.
Yeah, they'll have to put it together. They have to treat it like it's Game 7 of the World Series where it's all hands on deck.
And but that's the status of this team right now and how bad the rotation is.
I'm pretty sure status.
It can be status.
Status sounds like you're trying to be like presidential almost, hoity-toity. I think it's just status.
There are certain words in the English language that go both ways. I'd love to give you an example. Do you guys remember the movie The Scout?
Yeah.
Great movie, right?
Brendan Fraser.
I think it's Brendan Fraser.
It's Brendan.
Okay.
Brendan Fraser. So in the movie, the great George Steinbrenner has a cameo. You guys remember that?
I don't remember the George Steinbrenner cameo.
He stole the movie based on what I'm about to describe, a word that can be pronounced both ways. They're talking about, what was Brendan Fraser's?
Steve Oklahoma?
Yes, Steve Oklahoma.
No, it was Steve Nebraska.
Nebraska.
It was Steve Nebraska, 100%.
All right, I was close.
You were close, and you had me fooled. I was like, yeah.
I was a good pull at it.
So Steve Wyoming is about to enter Yankee Stadium. And they're saying, hey, he's coming in and he's going to land on the roof. And George is like, there's a helicopter landing on the roof? And the agent's like, the roof? And George is like, he's going to land on the roof? On the roof?
Yeah.
So roof and roof, they both go aunt and aunt.
Yeah.
They go both ways.
Toilet, turlet, oil, earl.
Yes, and status.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.